Chodesh Halvavos Shir on Sunday. We are starting Shar HaBitachon. It is January 4th, Yud Gimel Teves, Tovshin Ayin He, Sunday, first Shir in Shar HaBitachon. Okay, so we'll start Shar HaBitachon. And we'll devote a lot of today to defining the word, the way I understand the definition should be. A lot of confusion about bitachon. Not so much what it means, that's just a question of words, really, but it's a question of semantics sometimes. But it's a question of what can you expect from Hashem? What does it mean? And the Sfarim, there are machlokes in the Achronim, in the Bali Musar, Bali Hashkofa, to what degree can I expect a certain result? Can I expect? Can I anticipate? Can I hope for? What am I doing when I'm having bitachon? Am I being unrealistic? Or does bitachon tell me that you will, with enough bitachon, you will be able to get your way? So we'll see. I have my opinion about what bitachon is and what it's not. And we'll be learning, and I think the Chodesh Halvavos, I didn't make it up. I see it in the Chodesh Halvavos. And that's what we'll be learning. So let's start the text a little, and then I'll step back and say what we're talking about, because it's very unnerving to learn about bitachon and talk about bitachon and explain bitachon and ask about bitachon, and then you say, wait a second, what's bitachon? That's not such a good idea. So we'll learn Omer HaMechaber, the Psicha of Shar HaRavim. And Chodesh Halvavos is built like a building, as we always say. So in Shar HaYichud, you come away understanding and internalizing the idea that everything that happens in the world is due to Hashem. And in Shar, you then learn Shar HaBechira, where you get the idea that it's good. Hashem is such a maker. Hashem is showering us with good. And the amazing nisim that happen every moment of our waking lives, of our, you know, our sleeping lives, of our waking lives, it's amazing. Things we don't think about. Because we don't think about that when I'm saying this sentence, there are like a million electrical impulses going on that are telling my brain, and the connection between the brain and the power of speech, and that I'm saying a coherent sentence, or at least I hope I am. And it's just amazing. You learn Shar HaBechina and you take it seriously, and your head bursts with gratitude. You don't know how to thank Hashem for every moment of life and afterlife. Then you go in Shara Bodhis Elokim. You say, okay, this obligates me to live a certain way. And that's what our Avodas Hashem is based on. As we started learning on Wednesdays, we're just touching the tip of an iceberg. We just started it. My thank you, my gratitude is the basis for my Avodas Hashem. That's what the Chodesh Halvavos holds. That's why it should always be done with love and with simcha and with hislavos. And I think most important, from an inner compulsion. Hashem's not even forcing us to do something because he's promising us Gan Eden or he's threatening us with Gehenim, but it's like Hashem, my nefesh is inside of me, and it's a nefesh. Hashem is inside of me, especially a Jew has a nefesh aloka mimau, and so it's Hashem figured out a way, if you'll pardon the expression, to talk to me, and it's me talking. It's not Hashem talking to me, telling me, do this, don't do this, but it's me that wants to do these things, not because I'm going to get a reward, because that's also an outside force, but it's an inner desire. I want to do this. It creates reasons. I gave the muscle of going to a chasana, but you don't feel like it, and then all of a sudden you say, wow, that guy got me my job. That person read my daughter a shidduch. And how can I not go to a chasana? And it doesn't matter if it's raining or if it's, you'll just go. And that's the power of being grateful. Okay, what's next? So, Shara Bitocho. That's natural. So the Chavis says, no, it's not natural. I'm going to explain to you why Shara Bitocho is next. Omer al-Khaber, Meneisha Kodama Amorenu Bechiv Kabbalah Savodus al-Lokir, because I just finished, the first three are very logical, rational progression. If you don't have Yichud, then it doesn't start. Hashem is responsible for everything. And then comes Bechina, because the Avodah Sanukim is based on Bechina. That's really only half the story. Chavi Halavos also says that his point in writing Shara Bechina is because Shara Yichud gives too many people a headache, and it's too deep for them. But if you really want to see Hashem, you don't need the philosophical ideas of Shara Yichud. Just go out and study nature, study the world, and you'll see Hashem. It's like the bridge between Shara HaYichud and Shara Avodah Zalokim. Because it's a little of Shara HaYichud in a practical, down-to-earth sense that everyone could relate to. You don't have to be a deep thinker. You have to be alive. You have to be conscious. You have to, be awake. But you don't have to be a deep thinker. And then it leads us to Avodah Zalokim. And now comes Bitachon. So because I just talked about Chiyuv Kabbalas Avodah Zalokim, and again, Chiyuv means not necessarily like an outside obligation, it means the way things ought to be. Ra'isi l'hovi achar of mashu tzorech yosef yikol hadvorim lo'obedu alokim yisbarach. Wow, that's like an amazing statement. The most, what's the most necessary thing in the world to properly serve Hashem? So you say, inspiration, intelligence, a soul, the most important thing in the world is to have bitachon. He says, and he's going to list in the psicha the benefits of bitachon, and he's going to show us. That's what he does in the psicha. In the psicha, he shows us. He attempts to show us. He shows us that all the benefits of having bitachon, and therefore he says this is the most necessary thing to be Obed Elokim. Primarily, as we'll see as we learn, the list of the benefits is, interestingly enough, you wouldn't think so, but you would think so, but then you say, hey, how was the Chavis HaLodas? How did he know about my life? He says, our problem in HaLodas Hashem is that we're stressed. We're too worried about things. We're distracted from serving Hashem because we're worried too much about our lives. We worry about this and we gotta take. We think we can control the world. And we think we can control our environment, and we think we could control what happens to us, and we have to be in control, and we're worried, and we're, and that's what's on our minds. And there's not so much time or mind left for serving Hashem. But that is the primary benefit of bitachon, is that it's liberating. Liberating. I outsourced it. I don't have to worry about it. Hashem is going to take care of it. Hashem is going to take care of me. And I'm free. I'm free. I'm not worried I'm going to miss the phone call. I'm not worried I'm not going to get the job. I'm not worried. Whatever. It's going to happen. We'll see. Like, okay, what can I anticipate happening? But it's off my head. It's like a burden. Like you're walking around. We're all walking around. He doesn't say it, but he says it. We're all walking around with 50 pounds burdens. Burden, like we're burdened with life. We're burdened with lists. We're burdened with worries. We're burdened with stresses. We have children. We worry about our children. We worry about our social relationships. We worry about parnasa. That's the human condition. He says it's such a shter to Avodas Hashem. This is the most important thing. But he's going to list a lot of benefits. I'm going to list a lot of benefits, but as we see them, we're going to see that most of them are like different forms of saying, chill out, don't be stressed, don't be so nervous, don't be worried, don't be agitated, don't worry, relax, like I'm pretty new, you know? Let me worry. I'm dating myself, right? How many people heard of me? Okay, you see, we're the old people here.
Bad magazine.
Godless, it's a godless thing of magazine. I mean, Chas V'Shalom, I didn't read it. I just heard about it. I heard of such a thing. So, but this is an amazing statement that all of us makes. the most important midah to have for serving Hashem is to have bitachon. V'hu ha-bitachon. That's what he says. Who tzorich yosu mikol ha-dvorim. That way he puts it next. Okay, now you gotta have bitachon. And shara bitachon, really all the sha'orim, but shara bitachon most, is the most sharp of being a workbook of how to develop midas ha-bitachon. He takes you by the hand in starting from paragal. The psicha is the advertisement. Look how great bitachon is. It's this and it's that and it's wonderful and it gets you this and it gets you that. And then he starts Barakala, but he takes you by the hand. And he says, this is how we're going to develop bitachon. And it becomes, first it's the theory, then it's the practical. If those who were in the window this year about bitachon remember that in Perek Dalet, he actually has scenarios. He goes through life. He goes through different areas of life, and he says, okay, like now you have these groups that teach, and you play act. And you say, okay, let's see how you react to this situation. The Chavis Alvavus Mamish does that in Perek Dalet of Shara Bitochon. He says, okay, this happens to you, this is how a Baal Bitochon reacts. And this is how a not Baal Bitochon reacts. So it's really very practical, and it's hard, and it takes time, and it takes effort, and it doesn't happen in a day. As wonderful as this year is, you're not going to be talking by osmosis. You're going to be talking by work. But the work is here. The work is spelled out. You know. So if you want to devote a month to each step, how about a year to each step? That would be wonderful. As I like to say, well, I don't like to say it, it's embarrassing. You know, I teach bitachon, I learn bitachon, but with my daughter, I think my older daughter, they got married now recently, I failed miserably. Not because I did anything bad, because we did shtadlus, which you have to do, etc., but I was worried. And that's the bingo, that's the bullseye of bitachon, not to be worried. And I was worried, it was on my mind, and I was worried what's going to be, and that miserable failure. And it's hard. It's really, to not worry is really difficult. And that's what we're going to learn how to do. But it's a lifetime of avoda. Okay, so that's the most necessary thing for avodas Elokim. V'hu ha-bitachon olam b'chol dvorav. Ba'avur, because ma'ashiyesh bo min ha-tualios ha-gadolos b'inyan ha-torah u'b'inyan ha-olam. He says, I'm going to give you two lists. Chazalos loves lists. We call it the Book of Lists. Right? Those who have been here a couple of years, we call it the Book of Lists. There is a book called the Book of Lists. We call it Chazalos the Book of Lists. He loves lists. I'm going to give you a list of spiritual benefits, he says. And I'm going to give you a list of temporal benefits. How it helps you in Olam Hazeh. How it helps you with spiritually, and how it helps you live life in Olam Hazeh and have a pleasant life. Okay, before we start, I want to define the term as I understand it. And to this day, I argue with people, and you know, but this is, I'm giving the shear, so I have the right to say what I think it is. And it's really a very simple word. It's the word to rely on Hashem. And it's based on the following idea. Every time we do something, the problem is, there are a lot of psukim and tehillim. Those who are well versed in tehillim will recognize that there's a lot of psukim and tehillim which imply and even say that with bitachon you get results. And there are balei hashkafa achronim that say that with bitachon you get results. And you may or you may not, but I think it's as, let's say you do, but it's as schar for having bitachon. In other words, the midah of bitachon is not result-oriented. The midah of bitachon is my avoda. If there is a result because of it, that's not what the midah of bitachon is all about. It's like tefillah, you know, I want to get that result. So bitachon, I want to get that result. No, that's what. Bitachon is bitachon. It does imply in many psukim that it brings results, the result you want. And we all know it's not going to bring the result you want if it's not good for you, right? So we all know, we all understand that, no matter what. So it's really, it's not that big a difference, but it's a conceptual difference. Bitachon is not result oriented. Bitachon is a verb to rely on Hashem. That's the midah, that's the avoda. And if it has a benefit, it's like a benefit because Hashem gives us schar. You know, Hashem gives me a reward for trusting in Him. Or I have other biurim, how it brings about a result that I wouldn't maybe have otherwise. Everything we do, this is all based on Chavis HaLavos. I'm not, I didn't make these things up. This is from the Chavis HaLavos, at least the way I understand the Chavis HaLavos. Everything we do, like, this is the kuda, this is the linchka, this is the point you have to understand. Everything we do, we're always relying on something. We make assumptions and we rely. I wake up in the morning and I get out of bed and I start walking to the sink. I'm assuming that my body is going to function. I'm relying on my body, on my mind to work, right? Or else I'd be scared. I'm not scared that I'm going to have a stroke, chas v'shalom. People have strokes. But I'm relying that, you know, life is going to be pretty normal. I'm not worried that I'm going to have a stroke. I go to the refrigerator. I'm not worried that the milk is sour. I'm relying that the refrigerator is working properly and that the electric company is giving electricity and the milk is fresh. And I walk across the street to go to the Makolet and I'm relying on the Makolet owner that he came to the store on time and he opened up the store and it's open and he got the bread delivery and but I am relying on hundreds of things. I'm relying on the truck company that they made a truck which brought the bread and it didn't break down on the way. I'm relying that there was bread, that there was a bread delivery today. And it's not always. Sometimes I go to the McDonald's and it's closed. It's and there's a sign, you know. I decided, especially in Israel, you know, I decided to take the day off. Okay, you know. That's okay. That we expect. Yeah, fine. But we're always relying on something. And even if you say I'm a self-reliant person, so you're relying on yourself, you're relying on your intelligence, you're relying on your know-how, you're relying on your brains, on your good looks, you're relying on your charisma, and you're always relying that you cross the street, you're relying on your body to function, or else you'd be scared to cross the street, you'd be stressed, you'd be worried, maybe I'm going to have to show and get a become paralyzed. It's an amazing thing that the mind sends messages and my foot walks because of my mind. And what happens if it stops working in the middle and a car is like coming at me? Maybe I should be worried that drivers are drunk and they're going to hit me as I cross the... So I'm relying. That's life. Life is reliance and making assumptions. We're assuming the sun will come up. We're assuming, you know... So Bitachon teaches us that this is all... It's not true. Nothing is true. The only object worthy of our reliance is Hashem. And Hashem is making my body work. And Hashem is making the refrigerator work. And Hashem is allowing the electric company to provide electricity. And Hashem is allowing the Makolet owner to open on time and the truck to bring the bread and that my body shouldn't get paralyzed. It's all Hashem. So the avoda, and it's a positive act. It's a mental exercise. I'm standing on the street corner here, waiting for the bus at 9 p.m. Why am I waiting there for? Because I'm relying on Eged that they're going to send the bus at 11 o'clock, and I'm relying on the driver that he doesn't want to lose his job. And he's going to drive the bus, and he's going to follow the route, and he's going to come basically on time, etc., etc., and the, you know, etc., etc., etc. But so the avoda of bitachon is to train myself to say no. This is all illusory. I'm relying on Hashem that Egan should be sending the bus, and that the bus driver should be on time, and that the bus driver shouldn't be drunk, and that the bus doesn't break down. I'm relying on. We always rely on things, and that's the nekuda. It's not a result-oriented thing. It's a pi'ilut. It's a pi'ilut. We train ourselves to rely on Hashem. The Chavis HaLavos will say in Perek Aleph that when he's, and I'm using my word rely, that it's relying in a way that you're not stressed. That becomes the definition of bitachon, and he says it in Perek Aleph when he defines bitachon. He's not defining it in the dictionary sense, because he wrote it in Arabic and he knew what word he used, and then it was translated into bitachon, right? So he wasn't defining it as I'm doing into English by saying relying. He defines like what its mahus is, what its essence is, and he says in Perek Aleph, which is a short perek, 5 lines. He says the essence of bitachon is to not be stressed, to not be worried, to not be anxious, to not have anxiety. That's what it is. So, okay, I'm relying on Egan to send the bus. But if I really had to get to Yerushalayim to claim that $1 million Yerusha, I would all of a sudden realize that I am stressed, that I'm nervous. Because maybe they won't send the bus on time. Maybe the bus will come late. And maybe it'll break down in the middle. And I gotta get to you. So the reason I'm not stressed, even if I'm not having to talk in Hashem, is because I'll come late to Yerushalayim. Like last night I went to Yerushalayim on a bus and we were stuck in the middle for a half hour. And I came late. So this is fair, because I didn't care that much. So that's why I wasn't stressed. But if I had to be home at the time when I had to be home, of course I'd be stressed. And then when we were stuck, I'd really be stressed. Right? So, what Chazal wants, his definition of bitachon, his explanation of the mechus, the essence of bitachon, is to not be, to rely on something, and he's not even talking about Hashem yet. Those who remember, Perek Beis doesn't even mention Hashem. He says, I want you to have bitachon in something in a way that you won't be stressed, that you won't be nervous, that you won't be anxious. And now, I will give you 7 things, this is what he does in Perek Beis, I will, and we could maybe think of it ourselves, because it's logic, it's not frumkeit, it's not mitzvahs, it's not shulchan aruch, it's logic. Let's sit down and make a list of the 7 things that are necessary to have bitachon in something or someone in a way that I won't be stressed. So then he goes through, the person has to be omnipotent, and the person has to, etc., etc. We'll get to it, we'll learn it. But that's his definition. The essence of bitachon is to rely on someone in a way that, I give my wife a deposit to make in the bank. I'm not stressed. I know she's going to go to the bank, she's going to get there on time, but that's foolish, right? If 8 checks would bounce and I'd be thrown out of my apartment if she doesn't make it to the bank, so then I will realize, well, I will be stressed because maybe she pierced the sale addresses and she got distracted and she didn't make it to the bank. Maybe who knows what happened, maybe something more important came up, maybe she forgot about it. She's a very busy lady, maybe she forgot about it. So the only reason we're not stressed a lot of the times is because the thing is not that important to us. It's not a must happen. When the Chazal talks about that the essence of bitachon is to not be stressed, he means no matter what, no matter how important it is, no matter how much it means to you, you are relying on, let's figure out whom we can rely on or what we can rely on in a way that we won't be stressed. And then he sort of says, well, not sort of, he does say, it's rather obvious that it's only Hashem. So you could say, I'm relying on the bank president to keep it open until 3 o'clock or whatever it is, yeah? But you can't really rely on him in a way that you won't be stressed if you really, really needed it open until 3 or else, who knows what. But with Hashem, since Hashem is Kol Yochol, so now everybody's asking themselves, if they're listening, but who says Hashem will keep it open till 3 o'clock? Maybe Hashem doesn't want it open till 3 o'clock. So that's why we'll be learning in Perek Beis and Perek Gimel why you're not going to be stressed when you have to talk on Hashem. He will explain that, but this is the definition. So the etzem definition of bitachon is to rely on Hashem, and it's active, not passive. It's a pu'ula, it's a piliyut. I have to train myself. And it's not as hard as it sounds, because once you realize that you're always relying on something and everything you do, as I explained, you're always relying on something,
or else you'd be nervous and you wouldn't do it, because maybe you wouldn't cross the street. You're not thinking maybe the Makolot guy didn't make it today. You're relying that he did. It's misplaced reliance, because everything is dependent on Hashem, and the only logical, it's not even from faith, it's being in touch with reality. The only logical object to rely on is Hashem. It doesn't make sense to rely on anything else, because if it's not the will of Hashem, it's not going to happen. And everything has to be the will of Hashem. And if Hashem doesn't want the makolot to be open at 7 in the morning, it's not going to be open at 7 in the morning. It doesn't matter what the makolot owner does. Right? If he doesn't want there to be bread there, if the milk is not going to be fresh, it's not going to be ready, the electricity will go off. No matter what you do to ensure that, right? This is the reality of Hashem. So that's bitachon, to rely on Hashem. Now, in my opinion, please forget how pompous that sounds, the next two lines in the Chayos HaLulav is probably, to me, the most difficult part of Shara Bitachon. I'm just the next two lines. It sounds like he's saying that Hashem will give you what you want, and that's a benefit of Bitachon. But he can't mean that, for the simple reason that he's talking about spiritual benefits. He's making a list of spiritual benefits. So if he meant what it seems like superficially that he's saying, which a lot of Sfarim learn like that, that he's saying that a benefit is that Hashem will give you your wish or what you're relying on him for, then it doesn't make sense for him to put it as number one in the list of spiritual benefits. Let's read it inside. Mehen, that's how he starts off, that's how he proceeds everything on his list. From those benefits, b'inyan ha-Torah or b'inyan ha-Olam, in spiritual matters and in temporal matters. V'to'alasa bo'v'toraso. Okay, now I'm going to give you the list of things that are to'alios' benefits in spiritual matters. Mehen. And this is how he describes it. Menuchas nafsho u'bitchono ala lokovius barach. You are calm and you are relying on Hashem. Kemosha evet chayov liftoach al adonov, like an evet has to rely on his adon. And if you understand what an evet and an adon meant when there was slavery, so he doesn't mean chayov like you have to do this, you know, as a tzivui, as a command. The evet understands that he's completely dependent on the adon, so he's relying on the adon to give him breakfast. He's relying on the Adon to give him clothing. He's relying on the Adon to give him a life, to give him a wife, to give him money, to give him what he needs to live. Because he's totally and utterly dependent on the Adon. So that's what Chayav means. It's like you said, Mechuyav HaMetzius. It's absolutely necessary for the Eved to rely on his master. As I said, you're always relying on something. So if you're not relying on Hashem, then you're relying on the makolot owner, and you're relying on Eged, and you're relying on your boss to give you the paycheck that you deserve, and you're relying on the electric company and the refrigerator to be working. You're always relying on something. So if you're not relying on Hashem, so you're relying on something other than Hashem. Umisha boteach bezulas Hashem, and if you're relying on something other than Hashem, meser ho elokim hashbechosu me'olov, u'miniach also biyad misha boteach olov. So Hashem says, okay, have it your way. And then you become subject to the vicissitudes of life. You become subject to what life brings you. Now, so what does he mean here? Now I'm reading it, of course he means what I'm about to say. But a lot of Achronim learn, he's talking about success, at achieving what you want. Now, he's saying a very deep idea. And it really, I can't say it's based on the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya, of course he preceded that by a couple of centuries. But he definitely means an idea here that is explicated by a Ramban in Iyov, and in short, a Ramban in Parshas Vayera by Stone, when he talks about Avraham Avinu, Ki Yedatev Sheyitzav Es Bonav Es Beis Al Achrov, the relationship between Avraham and Hashem. The Ramban there says something to Kitzer. He elaborates upon it in Iyov at great length. And Rabbeinu Bechaya elaborates on it. Rabbeinu Bechaya on Chumash, not as Lovus. Rabbeinu Bechaya on Chumash, a different Rabbeinu Bechaya, Pachin, says it also over there in Vayera at more length. And this is what they say. This is the idea. I will explain it as best as I can. Actually, as best as I understand it. Let's say, right, Hashem runs the world. Well, Hashem runs the world a certain way. And your average person gets sick 3 times in the winter. Catches cold, gets the flu. Let's say, whatever it is, the average person falls down in the course of a year, falls down 3 times and gets and bleeds. Whatever it is. Life has what it has. Everything's deserved and everything's b'cheshbon. But the world runs a certain way. Hashem runs the world a certain way. So the Ramban says, it's my marshal, but the Ramban in effect says, well, let's say you go to war. You know, they go to war and people get killed in a war. There's no, that's the way a war works. Not again, Hashem. Hashem has a war works a certain, a war has a certain teva. Of course, it's Hashem made and Hashem enabled and Hashem making the teva work that way. That's the big mistake. The teva has any independent power, chas v'shalom. But it has a certain teva when people get killed. If you don't have enough schusim, you get killed. Right? Everybody. The closer you are to Hashem, the more you live with Hashem, the more protected you are by Hashem. The more He takes you under His wing, so to speak, and protects you. So the person who, and he talks about the avos being merkava l'shechina, that their minds are always on Hashem. Think of it as shivisa Hashem l'negdi tovid. I feel like Hashem is always with me, always protecting me. Well, let's talk about bitachon. I'm always consciously relying on Hashem and everything. The more you are boteach, so the bigger Baal Bitachon will only get sick twice a winter, not 3 times. A bigger Baal Bitachon will get sick once a winter, not 3 times. A bigger Baal Bitachon won't get sick at all. Hashem will protect them from the norm, we'll call it. Not that the norm ever acts against Hashem, chas v'shalom, but there is a certain norm in the world. Hashem wanted a world where people get sick, and where people die, and where people fall down, and where people have aggravation, you know, that's a norm. The more bitachon you have, says Ramban in Iyov, up till the point where he really goes to the extreme, and he says that the biggest tzaddik will command, will have nisim geluyim that protect him from mamish teva. Okay, but there you're talking about something that we don't even relate to. Right? Talking about Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, like they are protected b'nes. That's the extreme. But that's to give you an idea, that's the extreme. The more you're with Hashem, the more He guards you and protects you from what He made as the norm. If you want to just think of that, let's say an average person gets a cold 3 times in the winter, so the more bitachon you have, says the Ramban, again, it gets a little more complicated because you have to do your hishtadlus, and you have to dress warmly, and you have to eat properly, and you have to do the hishtadlus is always part of your obligation. Having said that, once we get past that, but again, your average person gets sick 3 times a winter. You know, that's how it goes. So the more bitachon you have, the more you're protected. So that's what the Chaim Zalovitz is talking about, the spiritual, and that's what the Chaim Zalovitz is saying, but he's referring to it as a spiritual benefit because he's talking about, again, this is very difficult, this is the most most difficult parasha of God. It's a spiritual benefit because you're living with Hashem. The more bitachon you have, the more shivisi Hashem, the negvi son that you have. He's not talking about the benefit of being protected now. Even though he says it, he says, he uses a lashon which sounds meser, elokim, hashkachoso, me'olav. There's different, hashgacha is like concentric circles. There's definitely sometimes a hashgacha over a person, b'miyuchad, and sometimes it's on a family, and sometimes it's on a city, and sometimes it's on a neighborhood, and sometimes it's on a kehila. There are there are different levels of hashgacha pratis. There could be hashgacha pratis on a city. Then each individual, who am I trying to give over to the island with what we're going through now in Eretz Yisrael? You know, that each individual has to see to it to sort of protect yourself from the norm, because of the hashgacha is on, maybe it's on Klal Yisrael, right? The hashgacha that the Beis HaMikdash should be destroyed, and Klal Yisrael should go on to Golos. What did that mean for each person? It means he's in big trouble, and if he doesn't have special schusim, he's going to be sold into captivity and maybe get killed. A lot of people were killed in the Holocaust, right? There was a gzeira on Am Yisrael. It wasn't a gzeira on the individuals that died. It was a gzeira on Klal Yisrael. Within that gzeira, the norm, unfortunately, became the tragedy of the Holocaust, became the norm. But what Chazal is saying, the more you work on bitachon, or the Ramban, actually in Eo doesn't talk about bitachon, he talks about more like Shivisi Hashem Lenei Tisom, the more you're with Hashem. But I don't see a big difference there. The more you, because if you're relying on Hashem consciously and forcefully, then, as I say, everything you do, you're relying on something. So if everything you do, you're relying on Hashem, so you're not just living with Hashem. Then your Hashem protects you more. But the benefit is that you're living with Hashem. And at the end of Shara Bitachon, he will talk about that's like living in Olam Haba. When you walk around and you have your own personal Hizbodidus, right? Because even if you're in a group of people, you're thinking about Hashem and if Hashem is okay with what you're doing and are you pleasing Hashem. And Hashem is like a real entity and presence in your life. You're thinking about Hashem, so that's the spiritual benefit, because he's giving a list of spiritual benefits. So when he says that if you don't have bitachon, Hashem is meiser hashbechosu me'olov u'miniach oso biyad disha boteach olov, that's already like a totsa'ah. That's not the benefit he's speaking of, because that wouldn't be a spiritual benefit, that would be a physical benefit. I mean, just think of Medina Sisrah and think of who they're boteachim for the last 30, 40, 50 years. And Hashem says, okay, have it your way. And that brings us to President Obama. Right? That's what he's talking about. Okay, have it your way. You want to be boteach in your boss? Okay, but you know, if there's an economic downturn, it's likely you're going to get fired. And the more bitachon you have, the more protected you'll be. That's not the benefit of which he speaks, I believe firmly, because he's talking about the spiritual benefit. But again, I'm saying the etzem avoda is to be aware always of Hashem, and Hashem's running your life, and Hashem is with you, to the point where the avos would be called a merkava l'shechina. They represented Hashem, not almost. They represented Hashem in this Bria. You looked at them and you looked at the way what they did and how they acted. It was like Hashem is with them. Right? The Shechina was there. Right? The Ramban says at the end of Chumash Shmos that when we make a Beis HaMikdash or a Mishkan, we're trying to recreate the home of the Avos. An amazing concept. We think of the Beis HaMikdash as the be-all and end-all of the Shechina. Ramban says the be-all and end-all of the Shechina are the Avos' home, their bias. That is it. That's the Mishkan. And we try to get back there. We try to recreate the home of Avraham and Sarah when we build a Mishkan, when we build a Beis HaMikdash. They were with Hashem. Yeah.
Okay. So what about the Kedoshim and Har Nof that were massacred? I mean, from everything I read, they did not put their trust in the Arabs to kill them. They seem to be, you know, B'tayat Hashem. So where does the protection come in there?
I can answer you. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't answer and never was explained by Hashem, Tzadik Rav. Hashem said, there are some things, and Rabbi Akiva wanted on, not Rabbi Akiva, the angels who saw Rabbi Akiva get killed by Goyim, they said, what? Hashem, what's going on? And he said, Shah, there's some things, Malachi was talking to, there's some things you won't understand. Hashem has a way of running the world that there are some things that are incomprehensible. And that we just have to accept that and have emunah. And as I said, in the name of Odessler, that's the Kiddush Hashem we create by maintaining our emunah. There's no such thing, there's no, you know, what do they say about when you study law? They tell you hard cases make bad law. You're pointing to an exception, not the rule. Baruch Hashem, it's an exception. You can't point to a Holocaust, to a Har Nof, and it's not the rule, it's the exception. But how could the exception exist? Because, I mean, I can tell you words from the Ramchal, because Hashem has a certain, the Ramchal says Hashem runs the world on, you know, with two others. I talked about it in Parashat Hazinu. He works, he has the function of Schar Onesh, of what we're talking about. And then he has another Hanhoga where things are leading to Gilu Yehudo, and he has his own way of doing things. And again, if you imagine that he told Malachim, he told the angels, Shah, there's something you want. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't understand it. This is beyond human. And so we accept it. We mame. We have a Muna. So, but it's the exception. It's important to be an exception. Because if it wouldn't be the exception, then it would slug up the whole Chavis Halulis. And I'm going to walk around scared. I'm going to walk around nervous that I'm going to be fired. And I'm going to walk around nervous that I'll never get married, or that I'll never have children, or that, etc., etc. And, but that's not normal life. It's not even abnormal life. It's the unbelievable, painful exception to the rule. And we can't point to the exception and make that into Yiddishkeit. That's also part of Yiddishkeit. I'm sorry. It's also part of Yiddishkeit. It's a muna that Hashem does things at times that are beyond our comprehension. And our avoda then, this is what I said even yesterday in the drasha, Hashem wants this. Yaakov Avinu, I explained, Hashem, Bali Hashkofa, Yaakov Avinu wanted to have everybody understand everything Hashem was doing. That's what it means, Lagalos is a case. And Hashem wanted the avoda of Amunah more than the avoda of Tislavos and Simcha, where everything would be understood and you would get all excited about it. Hashem, you know, is a part of Emunah. And it's a Nisayon, and that's part of life. Before Mashiach comes and reveals, Bayomahu Yiyah Hashem Echodesh Moechad, so we just have to hang on to Emunah. But it's the rare, for Baruch Hashem, the rare exception. It's not the rule.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can't see the Shoah as an exception.
I'm sorry?
I can't see. I accept, the word exception bothers me. When it comes to
it's Shoah. Not the norm. Okay, I won't say this is an exception. It's not the norm. The Klal Yisrael and Golos always had a much higher standard of living than the Goyim, even though they were in Golos. The Goyim lorded over them and were the boss over them. If you go through history, the Yidden always had a higher standard of living than the Goyim they lived amongst. That was the norm. They were literate, they were hygienic, they didn't have divorce, they had family life, and they had a higher standard of living. And the Goyim were peasants and drunk and poor and were usually slaves to the landowners. That's how it was in most of history. And that's because of, okay, yeah, maybe the word shouldn't be exception, the word should be it's not the norm. Okay, this is really, okay, I have to stop, I'm sorry. Okay.